As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring
Pat Boyle
and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And a happy Thursday to you, everybody. DA here on CBS Sports Radio. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free. Sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live or the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. Or on the Odyssey app, get in the zone AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Get in the zone AutoZone. Restrictions apply. It is a tumultuous couple of days here on the DA Show. The press release went out yesterday from both SiriusXM and Odyssey that I would be leaving CBS Sports Radio after tomorrow's show. So we have today's show and tomorrow's show to have a good old-fashioned reunion fiesta. And then on Monday, it's a quick turnaround. We have a new show here on CBS Sports Radio as Maggie and Perloff will take over the mornings. They have not announced what they're going to do in the afternoons yet to Maggie and Perloff's old slot, but you know, Maggie and Perloff have both been very supportive of us and our show. We've known Maggie for quite some time because she's been working in the building on other shows or down the hall. I've actually known Maggie even longer than that because I did some stuff when she was at Sports Illustrated. She did SI.com. I was a guest there. So Mags and I go back quite a ways, and I'm really happy for them. They get a great opportunity in this time slot with a built-in audience that loves to have fun. And I've gotten to know Perloff a little bit as well over the last few months since he has started. He's always been a great dude. I've known Perloff from afar just because of his relationship with the Dan Patrick Show as the McLovin character there. So I'm really happy for them. They're two great people. They're rooting for me. I'm rooting for them. And no animosity whatsoever. And this was an opportunity for me that was presented to me. And it had a lot of the things that I really value, and it is not a reflection at all on what my time here has meant to me and the guys here. You know, I mentioned this off the top of the show. You can listen to my full thoughts on this as part of the opening segment. I did like 20 some odd minutes on this, so that was much more in full. I'll try to kind of keep this concise for those that have been listening since 6. But this company allowed me to do the show I wanted to do. And my vision has always been there's got to be a different way to do sports talk. I grew up as a sports fan, and I consumed SportsCenter and Sports Illustrated and NFL films, and I watched games, and I collected football cards and baseball cards and watched old videos. But when I heard sports talk, it wasn't me. people in the New York area swear by WFAN and Mike and the Mad Dog and everything, and there's no doubt it's a legacy property, and everybody there has been icons, and I love that Mraz has a chance to carve out his own place there because it has meant so much to so many people, and Mike and Dog are historic. I mean, they have a 30 for 30 documentary about them. They're both in the Radio Hall of Fame. They kind of built sports talk. I listened to them, and I said, that's not who I am. I couldn't be either one of those guys. And I never wanted to do sports talk as a broadcaster. I went to Syracuse and had no passion for sports talk. None whatsoever. I was like, I'm not a yeller. I'm not like, fire this guy. I'm not going to cry over a game. I just, that wasn't who I was. And when I got my first job, they were like, well, we need you to fill in to do some talk. We need you to fill in to do this show. Can you host here? Can you do this? And as I started to get into it, I was like, oh, wow, you know what? This actually is way better for me because I could paint with a completely empty canvas every single day. And it wasn't once a week. It wasn't, you know, once a month. And this was before YouTube and podcasts. I got to do something every day from a completely blank slate. And for my mind, that was the most fulfilling thing ever. I got to talk about sports and create a world. CBS Sports Radio from day one, January 2nd, 2013, just was like, go do it. All right. I get to pick the music? Yeah. I get to make the open? Yeah. I get to pick the guests? Yeah. We get to talk about whatever? Yeah. And every step along the way, we were successful enough to where they never interfered. And so the gratitude I have for that, because that allowed me now to be the person and the host where SiriusXM can come to me and go, we want that. What you do, we want that. We want to put that on steroids. We want to put that with a rack, a jetpack. Without the creativity here to develop this as proof of concept, I don't get that next opportunity. So this is quite a bittersweet thing because I have such gratitude for the space I've been given here and for the guys that bought in. I mean, let's face it, not everybody would buy into this. It's chicken challenges and hot salsa and he who shall not be named and Bob's Bar and all these things that are kind of off center, off kilter, kind of like a bit of a fever dream every day. And the crew here bought in. Mraz bought in early, and Pete and Bogues bought in, and Kat bought in, and everybody along the way that Mraz and I worked with seemed to buy in. We didn't really have a lot of people go rogue from the reservation, from the base, camp base, base camp. They were like, yeah, this is funny. This is good. We like this. So that has meant the world to me, and that has allowed me to say, this is what I do. I just want to do it with jet fuel. And that's the reason why this next opportunity is so exciting for me. And for those that don't have SiriusXM, they're going to give the D'Aliens a free 3 months. And that was very important to me. I said, if you are making the stake in my listeners and my show, we have to bring them along for the ride and not ask them to pay for this. Now, the first 3 months might suck. And you might be like, you know what, DA? I'm out. That's fine. But you got to allow that gift, that thank you, that appreciation. So that's what they're doing. And I don't view this as sad. I view this as, it's hard, but it's not sad. It's hard because I love these guys. There's never been a day I have come to work and didn't want to come to work. These guys are hysterical. They care. They care about the product. Pete and I might seem as totally different as humanly possible. We're cut from the same cloth. He cares about the product to the minute, to the second. And that's exactly how I feel. Mraz and I might feel like we're in totally two different worlds. Mraz's sense of humor, the passion he has for entertainment, the committing to the bit, no matter how stupid you might look, the bit is. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better sidekick for all these years. It was the best marriage we could have ever had. Bogish, he's so smart. Like, his writing is so good. He's so clever. He's so smart. You know, I'm just like, yes, that's how I would have written it. Or I could have
I couldn't have even written it that way, but you did, and I'm so glad you did. You know, when you find people like that, you're just like, you don't ever want to leave them. And Cap is the same way. I don't even tell Cap what to do with his Target Friday demo memes. Target Demo Friday memes. It's just like, whatever comes out of Cap's crazy brain is what we post. I might say, like, let's add Jack Stern to this in a chef's hat. Or, you know, or something like that. But it's like every Friday, I'm just excited to see what the hell is Cap going to cook up. When you work with people like that, it's just a joy. It's just a joy. And I hope I just reflected that joy every day, man. I got blessed. I got blessed with a great family and an opportunity to focus on what I wanted to do by the age of 15. I was like, this is what I wanted to do. I didn't know it was sports talk, but I honed everything of this is where I'm going to pour my energy and my life to do. And I'm because I love it. I mean, there's a lot of people that just don't ever have that. I got so fortunate. And then I fell into all these slots where they let me do it. So I got so lucky. This is not sad. It's just hard for those reasons. And I wake up Monday, I get to do it again. And I get to go to a place where they're like, yes, we want that. We want that. We love that. We want you to do it this way. Your vision is our vision. Again, how many chances do you ever get in life to where people go, whatever you think needs to be done, you get to do? Holy crap. That's empowering. So it is hard, but it isn't sad. And the other reason it's not sad is the network goes on without me. We all have this kind of idea that like, oh man, you know, you leave and what happens? Things fall apart. Gottlieb left and Chris Moore left and Feinstein left and Tiki and Tierney left and Pharrell left and who hasn't left, you know?
And Taz.
Taz left, Moose left, the Moose left. We, you know, life goes on. You can't be too self-indulgent and think it doesn't. And so the network remains. Great people are here. Maggie and Perloff are great people. The show remains. You know, a morning show remains. Like, it's great. This is a great place. And everybody listening should know this is a great place. And if you're PO'd and upset, I totally get it. You don't have to be happy about this. We're ruining your rhythm and your daily commute. And we get it. You might love this. You might be like, you know what? I'm kind of done with chatbot Mraz. I wouldn't mind a little bit more analysis here. I'm kind of done with, you know, hey, you're going to get a fresh start. So, and for those that want to come with me, I love you. I love you to death. And I want to be loyal to that and deliver what you expect from me every single day. So that's why it's not sad, but it is hard. Mraz, when we started this doing overnights, our producer was Kenny Brock.
Yeah, well, I was the producer.
You were the producer. Yeah, Kenny Brock was the associate and on the...
The real producer, Kenny Brock.
on the Wheels of Steel.
Fair.
Both you and I are still close friends with Brock.
Yeah.
Brock reached out to me, texted me and said congratulations, and he's at the Food Network, and he's been amazing. Jolton Joe D'Aloisio was one of our producers doing nights. He's gone on to Iona to do higher education. He runs their communications department, basically.
Got Patino out of there.
Both you and I are close with him as well.
Yep.
We talked about this when you left. When we were doing those other night shifts, there are other update anchors and what have you. I mean, Boyle, even though you're down the hallway, I mean, you came in and I saw you gave a bro hug to Boyle. You rubbed up on his shoulders a little bit.
He kissed me on the head with his sweaty lips.
He's our dude.
He is our dude. I have to feel more of an alpha around him.
Caserta has only like parachuted in for a little bit, but I feel like I could dial up Caserta at any point in time and just totally hang.
Yes. Greg Caserta is the best. James Ward worked tonight. He's one of my best friends to this day.
James Ward was on the evening show. He moved over to TV as well. And now it's Bogues and Bilotti. We've just been, we were so blessed every step of the way to just have such good people with us to ride this thing out, and everybody committed.
It is amazing, because I work with, obviously, new coworkers. You're going to work with new coworkers. And, you know, everybody tells the stories of their shows in the past, and I start to realize how lucky I was. Like, there's nobody I've worked with that I despise or that I can't stand being around. And that was the beauty of the DA show here, was that it was almost impossible to hate one another. Now, there were days.
Totally.
But over the long haul, I mean, there's just, brotherhood's the wrong word. You know, there's just this camaraderie with everybody that it seems so hokey to say it's a family, but it is. It is. You know, whenever you have a squabble, it's a family-type squabble. But ultimately, we all love each other. We've all now had kids, and it's crazy. It is crazy what this little thing blasted off into.
Yeah, it is. And everybody that wanted to work on the show to fill in or to be a full-time host or whatever kind of saw what we were doing and wanted to be part of that. And that made it special, too, because we attracted people that saw that this was cool and this was fun versus somebody that was like, this is pretty ridiculous, and yeah, I'd rather just talk sports for 4 hours or whatever.
Yeah, and with all due respect, anybody who thought it was pretty ridiculous to the point they just want to talk sports, like, we're good. We didn't need you anyway. You know what I mean? If those were listeners. But like, we weren't ever going to be everybody's cup of tea, but I just, the magnetic personalities that everybody grew together and the listeners being a part of it, I mean, I never in a million years would have thought I would have interacted with some listeners on Twitter the way I do and everything. Like, I know what their kids look like.
Did you ever think that you would have total strangers show up to your parents' house?
Nor would I think my parents would embrace it. And every year, the 2 weeks before Bob's Bar, there'd be a big tizzy. We sure were having too many. And then the day, my mom would put on a big smile and a big hat and be hugging everybody. I mean, we had a juice press left behind this year.
What happened to that juice press?
Oh, it's been used. It was used week one in the NFL. I could promise you that.
Oh, nice.
The orange Julius's or orange crushes. Oh,
orange crushes.
They were made for week one. I could tell you that. So that carries on a legacy of its own. I mean, Gordon Vancouver, I think, might be coming to a bar mitzvah. Somebody he met there. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible.
And this is why I'm not sad. We got 11 years. We got 11. Right. We soaked 11 years out of this where they didn't stand in our way,
right,
no matter what we wanted to do. I mean, we raised he who shall not be named's jersey to the rafters.
And I'm sorry, the irony of years later, Perloff having a Viking jersey in here is just so perfect that only, like, if you know kind of deal. But yes, yes. I mean,
never said no.
No, never said no. D.A., you and I got to ride in Mr. Peanut's mobile. Like, they thought our show was a big deal. They contacted us. We need the D.A. show folks in our big nut. That's exactly what we did that morning.
The nut bus.
Yeah, the nut bus. Yeah? Sorry, Pete? Okay.
Huh?
No? Okay. Yeah, I mean,
we can't say nut bus?
That's fine.
I'm done tomorrow anyway,
yeah,
Pete.
Exactly.
What are they going to do to us?
Pete's like, I'm still here.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, how about Katie Linendoll is one of our good friends?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she just started as the Gidget of Gadgets. She's funny. Let's always have her on the air. I text with her once a week.
Yeah.
I mean, a guest on the show. I mean, just Jared Greenberg. I mean, it's unbelievable. Notice I'm naming all the guests that actually said yes when I reached out to them, but still. Truly is unreal.
Well, the only ones you called.
Yeah. By the way, I don't miss that. Not having to lift a finger on booking a guest.
That's got to be the biggest release of stress.
Now it's an acceptance when I walk in. It's like, no guest book, though. That's not your job. That's a big relief. Big time relief.
As if you did lift a finger. like you had this big Rolodex.
Or he was stressed by not booking guests. You seem fine every morning.
My saying was always, if they said yes and they don't answer the phone, I did my job. That's how I'm the answer from there.
Who wants to come on? A chef that makes biscuits?
Yeah.
Go put it right on.
I mean, there was a time, with all due respect to Mike Golick Jr., we thought we booked the real adult Mike Golick.
The dad.
The dad. And the son popped on and D.A. raised his eyes and said, did you know you booked Junior? And had to change on the fly for an interview.
Yes, I did.
Longtime host of Mike and Mike. He also played for 6 years of the NFL. Mike Golick Jr. Junior joins us. Wait a second.
Hey, Pete, how many times would that hotline ring with a guest where I had the wrong day and time?
The last week.
I'm sorry. I think you got that email wrong.
That last week.
You heard
me
wrong?
Had it on.
Yeah, exactly. So good.
Folks, how you feeling?
I'm okay. Like, much like with Sean, it's going to hit me more when it's actually not around anymore. But the last, you know, what was it, 10:30 yesterday when all the announcements went out, it's been overwhelming on social media, hearing from everybody who's, you know, heartbroken, sad, angry, whatever. I don't know what else to say, because this is an amazing 11 years, and for you guys, and 6 for me and Pete, and it's something that isn't supposed to happen in this business. And, you know, I hope that everybody does stay connected, even if they're not the audience anymore, that everybody stays part of the family.
No doubt. Yeah, I second that. Guys, I think one of my favorite things that we do every single year is the 12 DAs of Christmas. And I think it's time to really dig into the number ones all time. These are the greatest moments of the 11 years here on CBS Sports Radio. We have to go into the crate and really make a decision here. What is the greatest number one ever? We begin the breakdown next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
I think every place on earth should be for babies, top to bottom, but it's not my fault.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We are looking inside, under the hood of the mothership's last 11 years here on CBS Sports Radio, and we are going to try to come to a conclusion. What is the greatest moment in show history? Before we get there, though, we've got headlines with Peter Schwartz.
All right, DA, we'll start in Atlanta, where the Braves beat the Cubs 6-5 in 10 innings. Ronald Acuna Jr. became the first player in Major League history to hit 40 homers and steal 70 bases in one season. Manager Brian Snitker all smiles about it.
I thought it was great. The way he picked the bag up and showed, I think the fans had to love that. We all did. I know. It was really, because it's so special in the moment. And he might be the only human that can break his own records.
Ozzie Albies, the walk-off RBI single in the 10th. He was amazed with Acuna's record-breaking night.
You know, he's the real MVP, and he did what he always, his dream was to do. He always talked about it, and he always wanted to do it. So I'm really happy and excited that he did it, and here at home with a big crowd.
With the win, the Braves lock up the number one seed in the National League playoffs. With the loss, the Cubs now tie with the Marlins at 82-76 for the last National League wild card spot, the Marlins splitting a doubleheader with the Mets. Orioles beat the Nationals 5-1, magic number to clinch the American League East down to 1 for the Birds. Manager Brandon Hyde's team can wrap up the division title with a win at home tonight against the Red Sox.
We're facing Chris Sale. It's not an easy task, and Red Sox always play us tough, so we're expecting you know Chris to pitch his start of the year. Obviously, he's going to be a really competitive start, and yeah, it's kind of in our own hands right now. And so that's a lot of fun.
Razor off. First pitch Red Sox Orioles tonight at 6:35 Eastern time. Now to Colorado.
Lawrence checks second base, comes home. And Freddie hits a high drive to right field. Way back it goes. It is gone. Freeman greets Lawrence on the first pitch with a three-run homer. And the Dodgers have opened it up to 8-2.
That was Tim Nevren on Dodgers Radio.
Crunching
Dodgers
and munching.
The best. Unbelievable. Dodgers beat the Rockies 8-2. Freddie Freeman hits 100 RBIs for the fourth time in his career.
Now, well, I was just a baby.
Let's see if Schwartz can get through the headlines while the drops are being
that's the test.
Yeah. Week 4 in the NFL begins tonight when the Packers host the Lions at Lambeau Field. Lions quarterback Jared Goff on the short work week.
It's as difficult for me as it is for them. Just getting the amount of film you want to watch in a short amount of time and being able to download the information in a short amount of time. It's challenging, but it's doable, and they're dealing with the same challenge over there.
Oh, sports giant.
By the way, you ever think we'd live in a world where we'd be happy to see the Lions on Thursday Night Football two of the first 4 weeks of the
You're
year?
Right. I'm like, oh, cool, Lions
yeah,
game.
Exactly. Good game.
I thought that door opening and closing was a drop by Bilotti. Did you hear that door opening and closing?
I was hoping for French onion dip with bacon, but with dipsy doodles.
Ooh.
That's what I think. That's my personal favorite of things you guys have done on this show. I know you'll get to that, but it's the fact that you had an actual college basketball broadcast dropping the most ridiculous show enigmas during a game.
Telford slam dunk. If you're not making tacos, I don't love you no more.
How did Super Dave
with bacon?
How did he not get fired?
How did we not get fired?
It's amazing. We have the same management apparently.
Let's talk obesity. Honestly, here.
Let's talk about obesity in the middle of a Winthrop basketball game. Let's address the health crisis known as obesity in the middle of this Big South basketball game.
Did he get fired? The team folded.
Kickoff there tonight at Lambeau is at 8:15 Eastern time. You had the blockbuster NBA trade yesterday. Is Damian Lillard leaves Portland to go to the Bucks.
Little wet, little drippy.
All right. Thank
you. I am just going to get the stunned. Are we doing stunned here?
Do we have it booked here? Let's do it.
I thought it was 8:20.
Right on. Yep, there we go. Boom.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
I notice it.
This was a perfect stunned, DA, all considering right. Mraz is here and I'm here and the fact that back in the overnight days, we had the two hot dog eating contest.
Okay.
One, the first one ended with a shroud of controversy, if you remember.
Yes, I
remember
do.
I filed that written
formal
request to go over it, and we had to wind up doing it again.
Yeah. But,
so I think this is apropos that we bring up this story. Last week in Madison, Wisconsin, just 4 months after announcing that the hot dog-shaped Wienermobile was changing its name to the Frankmobile.
Which we did, yeah.
The distinctive wiener on wheels is reverting to the original.
Okay.
Oscar Mayer, which has several of the vehicles, announcing last week on Instagram that the Frankmobile is toast.
Oh, no.
The Wienermobile will rot again. The name change announced by the Kraft Heinz Company in May was meant to pay homage to the brand's 100% beef franks and their new recipe. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Why do we have a new recipe?
Yeah,
if they did the
name change originally to get some pub, and then when they changed it back, knowing they would get pub again.
Yeah.
The double pub.
The double pub.
For fans,
pig parts and salt. That's all you need.
Pig parts.
Fans of the original name, the change was ridiculous. Quote, it's been a franktastic summer, the Instagram post said, but like you, we miss this wonderful icon. Help us welcome back the Wienermobile. Oscar Mayer, headquartered in the Wisconsin capital of Madison for nearly 100 years. And the Wienermobile was first created in 1936 and has gone through several iterations since then. But all is good in the world. The Wienermobile has made its return.
Excellent. I remember reading about that not long ago. We didn't talk about that in the show. What's the best hot dog, Mraz?
Hebrew National. Hebrew National. Sabrette and Nathan's are like 2A and B. But I go to the store. I'm sorry. I'm a Hebrew National guy. You throw that on the grill. Or
you don't have to apologize.
I love a Hebrew National Frank.
Apologize, damn it.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Yeah. Yes.
We got to give credit to Black Bear. They're a King Cullen special. They're actually very good. They're kind of similar to Sabrette.
Look, I come from supermarket lineage. To tell you, Black Bear's a ShopRite special.
Whatever.
I had to step
Who
in.
Who cares?
There.
It's good.
I'm sorry. My supermarket knowledge comes in.
Right. I like Sabrette.
Okay, you're a Sabrette.
Sabrette's good. Yeah.
All right, right on. Well, thank you, Schwartz.
You like Sabrette right on. All right, thank you, Schwartz. Let me be fat.
Well, we have business to attend to here. We've got all the 12 DAs from 11 years lined up, and we have the number ones ready to go as well. Guys, let's start going through the old number ones of the 12. What?
You like Sabrette right on. Okay.
Look, sometimes you got to keep moving the chains, okay? And Pete's updates don't always lend itself to moving the chains.
That, by the way, I've heard DA sit through a million updates. That was the least interested I've ever heard him sit through one. Like, oh my
goodness.
Is he gone? He can't hear us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, he's listening to the fan now in the other studio.
Exactly.
Begging for
tickets. That should be the last time Schwartz appears on the show. That was perfect Schwartz to go out a meandering update, not knowing how to handle Pete's drops and interruptions, and then redoing a stunned that we did last week.
That's right.
That was all of the Schwartz experience.
We sure did.
One update.
And me and Bogues couldn't even stop the train because it was like, let's just keep the change moving.
I was taking Timmy to school, and I knew you did that last week. I didn't even hear it.
And he asked me, he goes, did somebody do about a Wienermobile? And I was like, I don't think so.
That's when we said nut bus for the first time.
Yeah, we said nut bus.
That's Pat taking my role and reeling him in.
Look at that. The rope-a-dope begets the rope-a-dope begets the rope-a-dope.
Yes.
Pat is now officially a Jedi. He's learned the ways of the Jedi. No, no one did that. I don't ever remember hearing that story. Just like when we heard in the Year of the Buffoon yesterday, Mraz going, he had some idea, and we were like, that's the stupidest idea ever. And Bogues goes, you shouldn't have said that on the air. And Mraz goes, but Pete told me to.
That's what I'm saying on the air.
Let's count down the number ones of all time. Let's go back to year number one overnight, 2013. Mraz will remember this very well. I feel like this was the first benchmark moment of the DA show. Number one of the 12 DAs of Christmas that year was the meandering painkiller Pat. Pat's first up in Arizona. He's been hanging on. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Damon.
What's up?
Hey. I'd like to ask you one question about David Bruce. He just screws me up. He just makes me think that you guys have nothing better to do but to downgrade Detroit City. I mean, at worst than Cleveland, we're worse than the Mets, we're worse than Oakland. Give me a break. I would rather live in Detroit City than Oakland downtown any day of the week. Yes, Brandon Knight was embarrassed, but he was just doing a switch off. His player didn't get back in time. And, you know, yeah, calling that the best dunk in the century, come on, that's a little bit embarrassing toward Detroit. We're just trying to compete. And
Pat, you got to hang on, man, because you are all over the place. I'm having such a tough time understanding what you're talking about. Now, you're calling from Arizona or Detroit?
Well, I'm going from Arizona, but I'm just tired of Detroit getting such a bad rap. You guys have nothing better to do than just to downgrade Detroit.
No, I got that the first time. How are we downgrading Detroit?
Saying that Brandon Knight, that was like one of the worst dunks ever on a player? That might have not been the worst dunk on someone that weak.
Pat, this has nothing to do about Detroit. Did you see the dunk?
Did I see the dunk?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was a normal pushover dunk.
Okay.
Big deal.
Well, you're wrong on that because it wasn't a normal pushover
I'm
dunk.
I'm totally wrong, David.
But look, listen, Pat, with all due respect, man, I've had you on the phone now here for like 8 minutes. I got to go to break, but I got to tell you, you got to be safe, brother. You cannot mix drinking with pain pills anymore. You're ranting.
I'm trying to get this off my chest.
I know. You're ranting.
So
you're angry. Just,
all this bull
just please.
Crap.
Just please. You got to be safe, brother. You got to get this back on track because you were a
What did you do to my sports, brother? You killed my sports. There is no competitive advantage. There's nothing anymore.
I got it, Pat.
The most.
You gotta rein it in, brother. You gotta rein it in because you are coming off as a complete psychopath.
I can't even watch a sporting event without the ears fixed.
Okay,
Who can watch sports like that?
Okay. But listen, Pat, you're nutso. You're off the wagon. You're off the reservation. You're drunk.
I'm not off the reservation.
You are something is crazy.
It's just I decided right now, right here, that I give it a chance to give you guys a little taste of your own medicine.
No, I appreciate that. Look, Pat, I appreciate you calling in, but you got to rein it. You got to go to bed, brother. All right?
Thank you, brother. Okay. You have a great show, Damon.
I mean,
that's 3 minutes of a 13.5-minute phone call.
Yeah, I mean, and we just don't have the time, but that doesn't even do it justice, some of the things that he said. In fact, for 3 years that would follow that, around the 4th of July, we would play that to American Patriot music. the full thing, we would kill a segment just to revisit Painkiller Pat. And years later, that call seems normal because I don't even think in year one we realized how crazy and wild the show was going to get. But that was our first taste of, like, what is going on with our listeners?
This is where this drop came from.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
And I remember we were 6 minutes in. And it was like, let's keep them going. Let's keep them on this phone line. Let's 8 minutes in, 10 minutes. At some point, you're like, we really have to break. We have to go to a break. This has now been 13 minutes. But I just wanted to hear how far he would go. He claimed that sports were all fixed, that we were all against Detroit.
Yep.
He then started citing biblical passages.
Yep.
There was a lot.
How he admitted to not having a job.
Didn't have a job. He admitted that how many beers had he been drinking? About 1,000.
As you could tell.
That's an all-time line.
And he was like the first with a nickname. You know what I mean? We had Hurricane Jen later that would fall. I mean, even Moist Pork. But you know what I mean? Like Twitch.
Jack Stern.
Twitch at its core is all nicknames. But we used to give callers and listeners nicknames. He was the first to get a Painkiller Pat.
Yeah. And I forget what time of the year that was. But that was within the first 3 or 4 months.
I think it was at the end of the NBA season.
Well, it was the NBA season because that was an Andre Drummond over Brandon Knight, right? And it's a vicious dunk even to this day, 11 years later.
Right. So let's say March, April that happened. Oh, actually, I know it was March. I've stared at the 3-whatever for years in the folder. It was definitely March.
March. So within 3 months, that was our first like, whoa, this is crazy. And the listeners are crazy. And we're just going to keep mining that. So that was the first. Should we take a break here and come back with more, or should we play another one?
I think you could do one more from 2015, the Chicken Challenge.
2015, this is now...
CC1?
This is, this February Chicken 19th. Challenge 1?
I think that. I think so.
Because we had Wienership year 1, Wienership year 2, and then Chicken Challenge year 3.
There was a Nugget 1 and a Wing 1. We'll listen for which one this is.
Okay, so this is the number one moment of 2015. I wore the black suit because I'm at a funeral. It's either the end of the dictator's reign, it's the death of his aura, of his career, really, or it's the end of those two young guys chirping and barking, and we crown the champ again. So either way, there's going to be a death in the family.
A fun fact, though, Ward is actually the oldest of our three competitors at 31.
Is that right?
And Moralia at 28. Mraz actually technically the youngest at 27, but the experience there. And we see Mraz getting towards the end of his first plate. Let's see how quickly he transitions into the second. And for the folks at home, the first plate and second plate are 20.
Right.
The money plate, so to say, is the final 10.
Correct. So right now, Mraz is 17 nuggets down. 17 down. Looks like Moralia is at about 15 down. He's going to the ranch, is Steve-O. And it looks like James Ward is about 14 down. Looks like he's got 6 left in the first plate. So Mraz is through the first plate earliest.
Both of them seem, all three of them, I should say, seem pretty calm. Oh, and Mraz, a little bit of a flaunt that could be time costly, putting up the plate as almost a showmanship endeavor, but he's on to the second.
And if you'll notice here, this is very interesting, Jacob. Mraz is now going 2 nuggets at a time.
Oh, boy.
He's using the 2 nuggets almost as buns, okay? So he's eating, they're stacking on top of one another. He's dipping and then pushing them into his big old gullet. 2 at a time.
And Mraz again taunting.
He has never been a good winner. He's never been a good competitor.
And double nuggeting.
This is amazing. Once again, and Mraz is jumping around. He's feeling really good.
You better be careful. I'll tell you. You saw North Carolina last night. This could be Mraz if he's not careful. This is going to be it.
Oh, boy.
History in the making. A legacy cemented. Sean Mraz is your Chicken Challenge 2005. Oh, 2 are still there in the bandana. He faked us all out.
He hid 2 nuggets in the bandana, went down on both knees, then pulled out the 2 nuggets, kind of like 3 goggles. This is amazing. What a performance by Mraz. He has thrown them down in disgust almost, wanting more of a challenge into the ketchup here, Jacob.
Borderline illegal in faking us out, but now he can take his grand old time, Sean Mraz. Critics will be silenced. You're 2015. Let's wait for it. Oh, he was going into the Moralia plate. Does he get the ceremonial burp?
Whoa. Whoa.
Can we get Mraz in for the postgame, or does he still want to eat?
Mraz, at this point, is looking at the other two and laughing. He is shaking his head and laughing. He looks like Butterbean after a butterball turkey and then another ham sandwich. He is happy. He is gluttonous. He is pounding his chest like a chimpanzee, like an animal at the zoo with both empty boxes of the nuggets.
He talked about wearing the tie symbolically for the funeral. This is a funeral for Mraz's competitors tonight, DA.
That's great. That is Chicken Challenge 1 or 2?
I believe that's 1 because 2 I ended up losing to Shane and the Gotham City Chili's and wings, right? That was my last ever win in an eating competition here at 27 years old. Here I am at 36.
We did, for the 4th of July, our own hot dog eating competition called the Wienership Challenge. And you won year number one.
Yes.
Against people inside the show.
Schwartz, Kenny Brock, right.
Then year number two is when we brought in Badlands Booker, I believe.
Yeah, there was actually hype that I could compete with a real competitive eater, and that was the first time we had Badlands, and he destroyed me. And I was so grossed out watching him eat. In year three, we did a relay team of can all of us together beat Badlands? We couldn't.
Nope.
And then we got down the realm of, well, let's try chicken. And what I learned there is chicken nuggets go down easier than hot dogs.
And you were crushing chicken nuggets. We had thought you had finished your plate. You were wearing the Giants Zubaz bandana.
Right.
You had hid two on your forehead under there.
Yep.
You had finished the plate. It was 50 chicken nuggets. You'd done 48. We thought it was 50. And then you pulled out the final two. Like Darius Miles, three goggles, slam those. You had done your 50, and then you started grabbing other people's chicken nuggets.
I wasn't full in real time. My adrenaline rush that night was unlike any I've had in the 11 years of the DA show. I was feeling myself.
You were presented with the Stanley Cluck Trophy. It was a trophy made out of aluminum foil that had a bird on it, chicken.
With oven mitts hanging off of it.
Oven mitts. We handed you the Stanley Cluck Trophy. Then the next year, it was like, well, who can be a challenger to you? And the Gotham City Cheerleaders came in. The Giants don't have cheerleaders. They're kind of like a knockoff brand of cheerleader right. for the Giants.
They play next to the porta potties in the parking lot.
And they wanted to come in. They were promoting something, tryouts or something. We said, well, would you like to perform in the Chicken Challenge? And they were like, oh, we have a competitive eater for you. And we're like, yeah, sure. You can't beat Mraz. And they were talking smack. So we said, okay, fine. We'll do wings. They're like, oh, Shayna can eat so many wings. We're like, yeah, right. Little Shayna, who must be 4'10", 110 pounds, comes in. She's like, I got this. And we're like, yeah, right. It was you, Planet Stevo, I believe.
Yeah.
And Shayna.
Yep.
And Shayna destroyed wings unlike any dude I've ever seen destroy wings.
Yeah, she cleaned the bone.
She cleaned the bone. It was all just feathers and tendons flying all over the place.
That it was, Damon. That it was.
And we were in awe. I mean, even at one point, you just turned and you watched. It was so incredible. You knew you were losing.
Beautiful woman cleaning chicken off a bone. It didn't even matter how many I was going to put in. We were all winners that night.
Yeah. And again, she was petite and athletic. And you're like, whoa, this is a whole different reality. And she wins. We present her stunningly with the Stanley Cluck Trophy. And that night, she leaves the studio.
She left with it.
And we're like, well, you had to leave the trophy
here. You take a picture to leave it.
And then it's like she brought it home like she was Alexander Ovechkin with the Stanley Cup Trophy, taking it to Moscow all summer.
We never saw it again.
And we're like, can we get that trophy back? And she never gave it back to us. She has it. She actually, I think, kept it in her house as like the real trophy.
No, it's definitely in the trash now.
Poor Stanley Cluck.
Stanley Cluck trophy. And so we could never have a chicken challenge again.
No, that was it. And that was I never came close to winning another food competition here.
Was it shocking that at that time I was single, that I was creating a Stanley Cluck trophy at home out of aluminum foil and oven mitts that I got for the dollar store? You think I didn't have a life at that point in time?
And now you got milk regurgitated all over your chest.
All over. We continue to count down the number one to the 12 DAs of Christmas as we move our way through the morning. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And today's Thursday Night Football preview, sponsored by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Lions and Packers, a battle of 2-1s in the NFC North. On FanDuel, Lions, a slight 1.5-point favorite on the road tonight. Quickly before the top of the hour break, where is Papa Meraz? Where is Bob the Deli Man of the Giants' potential this season?
Very positive after the Niners loss. He won't focus on the final score with 17-12. He keeps reminding everybody on that. Need to get some guys healthy. I will say this. I believe Bob's Bar will be where we watch Monday night's game. That game is going to be treated like the Super Bowl in Bob's eyes, and everybody's there. You beat the Seahawks. I've even declared this. I think the Giants clinch a playoff spot with a win on Monday night.
Not dramatic at all.
No, but like that's it. They can't beat the Cowboys and Niners. They beat the Seahawks. That's the next tier. So I'm kind of with Bob on that. I think the Giants firm up a playoff spot on Monday night.
And move to 2-2.
2-2.
They firm up a playoff spot at 2-2.
If they win Monday night, they absolutely will be in the playoffs. You might as well clinch it.
Why do you do this to
yourself?
Because
I'm serious. Look at the schedule, DA. Look at the schedule. They clinch on Monday night. They will have the tie break on Seattle already. And they still got the Packers and Saints to go. They'll beat them if they've beaten Seattle. And they're going to be the cream of the crop in terms of the wild card teams other than Dallas. So there's three wild cards to get in. You know, Dallas or Philly be the other one. The Giants in Seattle, it's going to come down to them. They win. That's it. They got the tie break.
That's it.
That's it.
You pencil them right in for 10 wins.
Absolutely. There will be champagne on ice at Bob's Bar Monday night to celebrate the clinching of the playoffs.
Wow. Champagne at Bob's Bar.
We might.
On October the 2nd.
We might hand out winning intels for everybody that comes.
Simply the best. Dun, 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 dun. More straight ahead, the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.